Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Nun Gimel, and we will get on Daf Nun Beis and Beis, 14 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Loi Kotz. Our Gemara discusses at what point figs and other fruits are already considered a full-fledged fruit, that as we discussed in our previous shiur, the halacha is one may not destroy perishvias. So the question is, at what point is a fruit considered a fruit? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Loi cut down a palm tree in the Shemitah year. Of course, the Mefarshim asked the question, aside from the Isser of cutting, from destroying fruit in Shemitah, there's a halacha that one may not destroy a fruit tree. So how could the tree be cut down, aside from the fact that we have to think about Shemitah? So Tosfos says that regarding that Isser, we have to explain that the tree was worth more than the fruit. And the halacha is that when the tree is worth more than the fruit, then there's no issue about Tashchis. The Meiri explains that the Isser of cutting a tree only applies when one completely cuts down the tree, completely uproots the tree. But what happened over here was that they only took off branches from the tree, so that Isser doesn't apply. Another pshat that the Chibin Rav suggests is that the tree was, that he didn't take off a certain amount, he took off less than the shear, that the halacha, the Chibin Rav says, of the Isser of cutting a tree is only when you cut the entire tree. If you cut less than the entire tree, that's not called that you did the shear of the tree. So Rabbi Loi again says the Gemara cuts kafnaisa. He cut down this palm tree in the Shemitah year. And the question is, how was he allowed to do so? Doesn't the Torah, when it speaks about perishviya, say, lachla marachmana? The Torah says we could only eat the fruit, so we may not destroy it. And if one will try to suggest that the reason there was no problem over here, because hani mili, when is the Isser that you may not destroy, is only hechad nachas l'peri, when the fruit has developed, aval hechad nachas l'peri, when the fruit has not yet ripened, loy, the Isser doesn't exist. Ask the Gemara, v'amar av nachman amar avavua, hani maschle de arla, the covers, the different shells that are around dates of arla, our Siri have the same status as Arla. Hoyal v'nasa shayim l'peri, because anything that's there to protect the fruit has the same status, says the Gemara, as the fruit. Now it makes the Gemara's point. V'shayim l'peri emes hava. At what point does a fruit have a protecting around it? B'kufri, when the dates are very small. Yet, they're called, at that point, v'kakar l'peri. And they're still considered peri. So we see from here that the fact that the fruit is still small, still they're considered fruit. So how over here are we saying that the fruit was very small? There's no issa to destroy it. Answers the Gemara. Rav Nachman d'amar Rav Yosi. Rav Nachman follows the opinion of Rav Yosi. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us. Rav Yosi Omer. Rav Yosi says, smother asur, a grapevine. A grape bud, which is obviously a very small grape, also b'neshu peri. It's considered already a peri. Opliga Rabban Alei, Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi, and they don't consider small grape buds as arla. And therefore, the Rabbanan, who do not consider unripened fruit as fruit, similarly will hold here that the unripened fruit is not considered Paris, and therefore, since it's not considered Paris, there is no issue to destroy it. Ask the Gemara, Maskler of Simon Adol, or me pligale Rabban Alei Rav Yosi b'Shayu Lanus. Maybe it was only by the grape tree where we find this machloikus, but is this machloikus by other fruit trees as well? For Tanan, the Mishnah in Masech Teshviz, Perek Dalad Mishnah Yud, teaches us, Meimasai ain't koitzin the Salonus b'Shviz. from what point is the halacha that one may not cut down a fruit tree in the Shemitah year? And actually, Tosfos in Masechet Brachos, when this Mishnah is cited, asks the same question that Tosfos began today's year with. You can't ever cut down a fruit tree, and we have to say the same answers. So again, at what point may we not cut down a fruit tree during the Shemitah year? Beshama's opinion is, all trees, as soon as they start bringing out leaves, which is as early as in the month of Nisan, as soon as they start bringing out leaves, the halach is, you may not cut them down. However, the opinion of Beis Hillel is, hacharuv mishir yisharshu, carob trees, from then they form chains, from when the fruit looks like it's forming a chain, that's at a very early stage. Vegafonim, when we speak about grape trees, mishir grua, when they give grapes that the size of a grua. I saw two pshatim in mishir grua. Rashi explains that mishir grua means that when the grapes are very small, that's what's called grua. The Rambam, however, explains that girua is from the word garinim. Garinim, we know, means the seeds. And what the Rambam says, the Gemara means to say, is that at a very early stage in the development of the grapes, they start, at a very early point in the development of the grape, they start developing the seeds. And that point is when they're considered a fruit. Vahazesim, and olive trees are only from when they develop a nates, which is some sort of a shell around the olives. The shakalonis, all other trees, mishir tziyu, from when they start giving fruit. Bar Ravasi, and Ravasi taught us, hu baiser, hu girua, hu pilalovin. We find in halacha that the halacha uses many times this different words to describe an early development of a grape. So says the Gemara, sometimes it uses the word gerua, sometimes it uses the word boiser, and sometimes it uses the word pulaloven, but they're all the same early stage. The Rosh in Masechet Brachos actually points out that this discussion that we're having here is not only relevant, as we're saying, to Shemitah and Arla, but it's also, he explains, relevant to Hilchis. It's also relevant to Hilchis Brachos. And the Rosh explains, as far as Hilchis Brachos is concerned, that a fruit is only considered a fruit when it developed somewhat. That's when it's considered a fruit that you make the Bari Priyates on. But if it's earlier than that fruit, then if it's an earlier stage, then it's not considered a fruit that you should make a Bari Priyates on. But ask the Gemara, can you say Pula Lovin Sakadaitach? The definition of Pula Lovin is a bean. So the Gemara's question is that we're speaking about grapes. And how did Pula Lovin come into our Gemara? El Ema Shi'urai Ke Pula Lovin. What the Gemara means to say is that when the grape is the size of this small bean, that's when it's considered a fruit. But now the Gemara goes back to the point that it made before. Rabbi Yossi said that a grape is already considered a grape when it's so small, when it's the size just of a small bud, smutter. Now, ask the Gemara. Manda Omar, Man Shamali, who is the opinion that says, boiserin, that the grape is only considered a grape when it's the stage of a boiser, smutter loy, but if it's an earlier stage, when it's only smutter, it's not considered a fruit? It's the Rabbanim. It's the opinion of the Rabbanim, who disagreed, as we learned in the previous Amid, with Rabbi Yossi. And according to Rabbi Yossi, even smaller grapes is considered a fruit. And yet here too, the Rabbanan agree, Vishkhtani, the Shah Kalanus, Mishiyatsiyu. They agree with Rabbi Yossi that all other fruits, the grape is an exception. But all other fruits, they agree, are fruits at the earlier stage. So how could you destroy the fruit at an early stage where everybody agrees that a fruit at an early stage is considered a fruit and would be an issue as far as Shemitah? says the Gemara. Different explanation, how Rabbi Loi destroyed the tree. El Rabbi Loi b'nischi cuts. Rabbi Loi cut down a male palm tree. Now, a male palm tree, unlike a female tree, the dates never ripen on the tree. And since the dates never ripen on the tree, therefore, he didn't destroy them because they're already going to be, there's no point in waiting till they ripen because it won't get any better. As the Rishonim explain, there are two types of date trees. There's a male and there's a female. Rashi seems to explain that the difference between a male tree and a female tree is that the male tree's fruit always remains small and they don't ripen on the tree. The only way you could ripen them is by putting them into wicker baskets, and that's where they will ripen. On the other hand, the female tree don't produce fruit until we graft into the female tree a branch of the female, into the female tree a branch from the male tree, and then they make wonderful fruit. That's how Rashi explains. The Aruch seems to say that the difference is not necessarily in the way that they're cultivated, but the difference is that the male tree produce has to be taken off when they're very small. Otherwise, they will be very bitter and not really be edible. But the female tree doesn't have that issue. Continues the Gemara in speaking about Hilchos Piyur. We spoke in our previous year that the halacha is that once the fruit and vegetables are not available in the field, then the halacha is you have to in the Shemitah year, they have to be taken out of the home as well. And we explained that that's what's called the Zman Biur. So says the Braisa, Tara Abarar, Oichlim Banovim, we may eat grapes, at Sheyichlu Dolya Shal Oichel, until the Arabs of Oichel, which is a type of a fruit, that are no longer available. At that point, where there was many vineyards, and there's no more grapes on that vineyard, then we have to dispose of them. Im yesh bucheres mehem. However, if there are grapes that are later, we could continue eating because of those grapes that are still available in the field. Similarly, we're allowed to eat grapes until the last olives of Tekoa are depleted. Because the Gemara says that Tekoa was in the chelik of Asher, in the portion of Asher in Eretz Yisrael, and that was the place where they had an abundance of olives. As long as there's some grape available in Gush Asher, Gush Cholov, which is also in Chelik Asher, that is famous for its olives, we could continue eating. Today, Sheyani Oitza, and you can eat from the olives until we have so few olives that a poor person going out to look for olives, can't find either on the branch or on the main part of the tree even a roiva of olives, a roiva akav. One may eat dried figs until there are no figs left in Beisini. That's a place that had obviously many figs. Amar Yehuda, he says, when we speak about Pagi Beisini, it's not regarding halacha of Shemitah, Ela Le'inyan Meiser. It was taught halacha regarding Meiser. Because the halacha is Pagi Beisini Vahine de Tovnya Chayovim Meiser. Our obligated to the Chiv Meiser. That's where we learned. But it has nothing to do with Hilchus Shemitah, that their availability does not teach us anything in Hilchus Shemitah. Oichlam betmurim, we're allowed to eat dates, at sheyichlo achron shebetzoya. As we learned in our previous shiur, that the halacha regarding palm trees is up to the time we have palms, until we have last the fruit in Soya. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Oichla Sheben HaKepen, as we discussed in our previous year, when the wind blows down these fruits, so if it's not a very strong wind, it blows them down to the branches, and then sometimes they're blown down all the way to the thorns. So Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel taught us that if the fruit is still available on the branch, then it is considered available. But if it's not on the branch, it's not considered available. Ask the Gemara. We have a stira. The Braisa says, Eichlam Ba'novim at a Pesach. We allow to eat Shemitah grapes until Pesach. Bezesim, olives at Atzeres, until Shavuos. Begroigris, and figs at a Chanukah, until Chanukah. And betamarim, we could eat at a Purim. Vam Rabibi, and Rabibi said, Rav Yochanan Tarti, Besrais Machlev. He reversed the last two. Now, this is clearly a stira with the previous Braisa. The first Braisa said that the time for destroying date, the time for beer in Yehuda for dates is Tzoyer, where here it says until Purim. Answers the Gemara, Idi v'idi chad shura. They're both the same shura. When is the time that there's nothing left in Tzoyer? Purim. V'vayis Ema. Another way of answering is we just learned a Braisa. The Braisa says that even though the standard time is as the Braisa mentioned, but a Ketanya Behedya, we also said that a Miyesh Mu Choros Mehen, sometimes there are fruits that stay, there are years where the fruits stay on the tree longer, and the Eichel Maleim. And that's what the Braisa meant to say, that normally the Aloch is till Purim, but sometimes they stay longer because of the year where they stayed on the trees longer. There's an interesting machlokes when the Gemara says Oichlam Ba'anovim at a Pesach. What does Pesach mean? Does Pesach mean the beginning of Yontif, or does Pesach mean the end of Yontif? Because this is very relevant, because they used to use the grapes to make wine for the Dal Kaisis, and the question is, would those grapes be available for the Dalakosis on Pesach? Tanya, says the Gemaraisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Simen Laharim Milim, if you want to know a mountain, if you want to know what is considered an area of mountains, you should see if there are milim, if there are gulnut trees. In an area that's a mountain, that's where there are gulnut trees. So I saw a very nice pshat. What does the Gemara mean with similar harim milim? We know the pasuk says yoytza harim uvayre ruach umagid la'odah masichai. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu created very large mountains, which are not really places where people can live. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create these tremendous, beautiful mountains? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to protect the people that live in the cities that are within these mountains, that if case there's a hurricane, there's strong winds, the mountains will protect the people who live in the city. But the question, of course, is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to create these mountains and that protect us from these strong winds? Just don't bring the strong wind. And if you won't bring the strong wind, then you won't have to worry about a mountain. The answer is, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings strong winds is because people speak Lashon Hara, people speak words, different statements that they're not supposed to make, and the punishment for that is that he brings wind, which is what happens when one speaks. So that's Pshat in the Pasuk. Yoytza Harim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates these tremendous mountains. Ubayre Ruach, and at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also creates these tremendous winds. Why? Because Magid La'odah Masichai, because a person spoke what they weren't supposed to speak, and since they speak what they're not supposed to speak, they have to get this punishment. And that's why the Pasuk says, Ki Harim Yimoshu, V'agvoyis Tumotanu, V'chazdim Itach Lo Yosha. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Mashiach, B'meher b'yameinu, and we will live in a world where people don't say what they're not supposed to say, that a harm yimoshu, then the world, then these huge mountains will no longer be necessary. So that's what says the Ben Yoyada is pshat in our Gemara. Simen laharim, you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created mountains? Milin, because of the words that we speak that create these tremendous winds. Simen lamokim, what is the simen for a valley? The column. So here too, the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai, has a beautiful pshat. We know that harim, he explains, represents tall, that represents baligaiva. Amokim is low, represents people who are humble and modest. He says, when we look at the date tree is very tall, and the fruits are on the top of the tree, difficult to be reached. So too, he says, the people who are amokim, the people who are modest, their schar is like on the date tree. It's kept for the Olam Haba, up in Shemayim. The simen lamokim, the simen that a person is humble, is what he does is, Olam is like the Dekolim. It's a person that is not anxious and most concerned with this world. He's more concerned with the Olam Ha'emes. Simen l'necholim, a simen for streams, a kadam, a reeds. Simen l'shmela, a simen for a plain, is the shikma, the sycamore tree. V'abishen raya l'dover, even though there is no raya for this seich l'dover, shenemar, v'yitem melchas kesem b'yushalayim kavonim, in the time of Shlomo Melech, the money, the silver in Yerushalayim was like stone, v'sarozim, and the cedar trees were as abundant kishikolim, like the kishikomim, like the sycamore trees, asher b'shvela l'roif. So the Gemara now is going to focus. We gave all of these simonim. The question is, why do we need to know these various simonim? So says the Gemara, simon lahar milim, simon mam the kolim, nafkamin lebekurim. It's relevant for Hilchas Bekurim, the Tanakh, because the Mishnah says, Eimavim Bekurim el Meshivas Aminim. The first halach is the Bekurim, which are brought from Shavuos time on and given to the Kohen, the first fruits. The halacha is that we only bring Bekurim from the Shavuos Aminim. The Loim the Kalam Shabaharim, but we always have to bring very high quality fruit. So dates that grow in the mountains, or perish amokim, other fruits, or grain that grows in the valley, is not considered high quality and should not be used for truma. Similar in the Cholim Konim, we said that streams that are reeds by streamim. Nafkamina, why do we know that? Need to know that. L'nachal Esam. We know that the Torah Kedosha teaches us that Chas V'Sholem, that if a dead person, a corpse, is found, L'inoida mihiko, and we don't know who killed this individual, we have to bring an egla to the Nachal Esam. And the definition of Nachal Esam is a stream that runs. So now, what type of a stream will be considered a stream where we could bring the egla rufa? It has to be a stream that has over there konim reeds. Similar shvel shikma. Why is that? Why do we need to know that? It says the Gemara nafkamina lemeka chamemker for buying and selling. And the pashup shot of buying and selling is that if somebody buys a property and I say I'm buying a harim, or I'm buying a shvela, if there are no shikma, I could say that this deal is not, I didn't get what I was supposed to be, what I was supposed to be get, because it's supposed to be, if it's a shvela, there should be shikma. So now comes the Gemara, hashta dashas lahachi. Now we said that the nafkamina is lemekach umemkar. So says the Gemara, we could say it kulanami lemekach umemkar. Then we could say for all of these various simonim that the Gemara gave, that the nafkamina of knowing these simonim is if the simonim are not there, it's obvious that I did not get what I was supposed to get. Says the Mishnah, halach is that on Shabbos, the Torah Kedosha says, l'sasa kod melacha, ata v'chol b'mtecha. So the halacha is that one may not sell animal to an Akum for a number of reasons. One reason is that maybe the sale won't be a full-fledged sale, so the animal is still yours, and since the animal is still yours, if it works on Shabbos, there's an Isser, as we just read the Pasuk, for an animal to work on Shabbos. Another reason is that you may be selling the animal right before Shabbos, and you're going to cause the animal to leave your home, mechamer, causing your animal to leave the home, which is a malacha, and therefore, says the Mishnah, Makom shenag limka behemet dakel nag. You're not allowed to sell a behemet gasa to a nachri for these two reasons. However, these concerns are primarily by behemet gasa, not by behemet dakel. Says the Mishnah, Makom shenag limka behemet dakel nachrim, in a place that we sell the behemet dakel to an achri machrim, we could continue to do so. But where the minig is that we may not do so, the halacha is a machrim, we're not allowed to sell, we may not. We have, again, as is the theme of this Mishnah, of this perek, that we always have to follow the minig hamakim. Why were they machmer? So Rashi explains, because they were concerned that if we're going to sell the behemah daka, we're going to come sell a behemah gasa as well. The Rishonim and Achronim ask, but isn't that considered a gzeira l'gzeira? And we know that throughout Shas, we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. So the answer that's given is kul achad gzeira, which means that when Chazal established the gzeira, that we're not allowed to sell a behemah gasa to an akum, originally, as soon as they made that gzeira, they included in that gzeira that the halacha only applies to all animals, behemah gasa and behemah daka as well. B'chamakim, but as we said at the beginning of this Mishnah, b'chamakim, everywhere the halacha is, e'machlehem behemah gasa, we're not allowed to sell an animal that's used for work. Agolim v'siyachim, small calves and donkeys, shleimim, whole animals, shvurim. Even when they're not healthy, we're not allowed to sell any of these animals because, again, if we're going to sell any of these animals, we may come to sell an animal that will be able to do work. And the Ritva says, "Was become makim." So the Ritva explains that it means that there's another concern why you may not sell animals to the Akum. They were concerned that the Akum may have relations with the animal. And the halacha is that, of course, an Akum may not do that either. And even, says the Mishnah, therefore, says the Ritva, become Akum, even a place where we do not have that consideration, the halacha is we shouldn't sell animals to them. Rashi says that it's going back to behemah daka, that even though these considerations don't apply by behemah daka, the halacha is we could sell it. The halacha, however, the Shulchan Aruch already says that this halacha, that we don't sell behemah daka and behemah gasa, doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. Number one, because as we said, the issue was we were concerned about mechamer, that the animal is going to follow our voice on Shabbos, and that's a melacha. But the Shulchan Aruch already says that animals b'zman hazeh are not so familiar with their owner's voice that we should be concerned about mechamer. And another pshat that is given is because they lived in a world that the Jewish community between itself was self-sufficient, and they therefore didn't have to be concerned that they won't be able to, if they won't be able to do commerce with the Akum, they won't be able to survive. We, unfortunately, don't live in such a world. We live in a world where we need to come on to the entire world for commerce, and therefore it's a gzeir that they cannot continue. Rav Yehuda matav shvura. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, says, you can't sell an animal that's not healthy because we don't have to be worried that it's going to be used for working. It's going to be slaughtered immediately. There's nothing you can do with that animal, and therefore there's not concerned that people are going to see that the Jew's animal is doing melacha or is used for melacha. Animals, horses, were used for transporting people. And the halacha is chai noises atzmai. And person, you're not chai for carrying a person who can walk himself, as we discussed extensively in Masechet Shabbos. Chai noises atzmai means that a person helps himself being able to be moved. And therefore, since the horse is used for carrying people, if the horse is used for carrying people, we don't have to worry that somebody, that there's a malacha being done with the horse. Carrying a person is not a malacha. As we discussed earlier in our Masechta, the Karban Pesach has to be eaten roasted whole. Says the Gemara, Makom Shnag, that there are minhagim not to eat roasted food on Pesach, where people will come to Chas V'Shalom think that you're eating a Karban Pesach b'zman hazeh, when we unfortunately don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So says the Mishnah, Makom Shnag Lecha Tzli B'Leil L'Psachim, in the place where there's a minig that they eat roasted foods on Pesach, Oichlim, they may continue doing so. Makom Shnag Leil Lecha, in the place where there's a minig not to do so, Ein Oichlim. So there are many different ways of understanding this minig. Some say that the places that have a minig not to eat, it's only when it looks like a Karban Pesach, when the animal is whole and roasted. If it doesn't look like a Karban Pesach, we don't have to be machmer. However, other Rishonim say that it doesn't make a difference if it's whole or just not whole. The halacha is that if it's roasted, it looks like a Karban Pesach, and therefore, since it's roasted, it looks like a Karban Pesach, the halacha is it should not be eaten ein oichlim. It should not be eaten. And the Rishash says the reason the Mishnah used Oichlin, Lashon Rabim, is because it's not only speaking on the night of Pesach Rishon, but the night of Pesach Sheni. But the Paiskim point out that even though our minig is that we don't eat roasted meat by the Seder, however, even though we don't eat roasted meat by the Seder, we don't even eat not a whole animal. Any type of roasted meat should be avoided by the Seder. And that's why the halacha is, if somebody didn't prepare his roya, we know his roya is a roasted piece of meat that's put on the kara. So now we have a question, when you come home from shul at night, can you prepare this roya then? It's yontif. On a yontif, we're allowed to cook, we're allowed to roast. But since we're not going to be able to eat it, so how can we prepare it? However, it really depends on minhagim. There's some that have a minig that don't even eat the zroya on the first day of Pesach. So if you don't eat it by day, you're not allowed to prepare it, because as we learned earlier in our Masechta, we're not allowed to cook food on Yontif unless we're going to eat it on that day of Yontif. But if somebody eats zroya, roasted zroya by day, then you can prepare it to eat it by day. Everybody agrees that on Pesach Sheni, the entire consideration is only by an entire animal. If it's not an entire animal, then we could be more lenient. And that's the minig. The minig of most people, as is quoted in the Ramah, is that we don't eat roasted meat by the Seder, any type of roasted meat. As we learned earlier, that includes a tzli keder. Pot roast should not be eaten on Pesach by the Seder also. The only heter that I found is that if the meat is first mavushal, if the meat is first boiled, and then you roast it after the boiling, we could be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, Osel Adam, Shem Basa Zela Pesachu. If a person has meat, even if it's already slaughtered, he shouldn't designate and say that this meat is being used for Pesach. Because we know on Pesach we need to have meat for the Karban Pesach. And when you say this, it's looking like you're being magdish an animal to eat it for Karban Pesach. And you're eating kachim b'chutz. On this comments, Rapapa, dafke basar, that this is only by meat we have this consideration. Because meat is used for a carbon. Aval chiti, grain, loy, we don't have to be concerned, and we could say that we're using these grain for Pesach, And we don't need to be concerned that people are going to say that, well, he must have designated the chitin to be sold to use the proceeds for Korban Pesach. Well, when a person says it regarding grain, we know what he means to say is the mintel Pesach Kamer are putting away the grain for Pesach. So, again, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, that even though the meat is already slaughtered, people are going to assume that if I'm not using the actual meat, I'm using the proceeds for Korban Pesach and their kachim. The Magen Avraham, in explaining Rashi, says that the concern is not that people are going to say that when I have already a ready piece of meat, that I'm using it for Korban Pesach. People are going to say that when the animal was alive, that was my intention. And therefore, according to the Magen Avraham, as the Prima Godim explains it, it's only going to be concern on a meat that is from an animal that could be used for a Korban Pesach. Other foods, we have to be less concerned, according to Prima Godim. However, the Bach and the Mishnah Brura take a much stricter approach, and they say that even by poultry and even by fish, one should not say that I'm using it for Pesach. I should not say this meat is for Pesach. By saying this meat is for Pesach, people could get the wrong impression could be formed. Ask the Gemara, or Basaloi, is that halacha that you can't say that by meat? Meisvei, there's a brisa. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Tudus Ishroimi. The Gemara identifies an individual, his name was Tudus Ishroimi. Hinnig b'dei roimi, the minig in Rome was lechel gedoy mekoloisim. They ate a whole roasted goat on Pesach. Bleil Psochim on the night of Pesach. And Sholcholoi, and the Chum sent them a message, Emolei Tudus Ata, weren't you Tudus, Gezrani Alecha Nidui? We will put you into Cherim, She'ata Machel Es Yisrael Kachim B'chutz. You're giving Klai Yisrael to eat Kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. So ask the Gemara right away, Kachim Salcha Daitach? Nobody indicated that they were Magdish, these Gedoyim. So why is that considered that they ate Kachim B'chutz? El Aim explains the Gemara, Karv Lachli Yisrael Kachim B'chutz is very similar, since they look like a Korban Pesach, the concern is very real. So, ask the Chassam Sofer, the halacha is that whenever something is usur on Pesach, it's us because of Maris Ayin, it doesn't apply by a rabbin. It only applies by individuals. So ask the Chassam Sofer, that everybody ate meat on the night of Pesach. So why is that not considered a Dovish Shal Rabbim? When it's a Rabbim, there's no concern of Maris Ayin. So Chassam Sofer says that the only time we have to be concerned, the only time it's considered Shal Rabbim is only in a situation where everybody is doing it together. Here, yes, everybody eats meat on the night of Pesach, but everybody eats the meat in the privacy of their own home. That is not considered Dovah Shel Rabbim. Ask the Gemara, Mekulas in, so it seems that only because it was roasted was there concern. Shein Mekulas Loi. But if it wasn't a whole animal, there would be no concern. Rav said only that any basar is a problem. Amri, Mekulas, when it's Mekulas, Loishna, Omar. It's no difference if he said that I'm putting it away for Pesach, Loishna, Loyama, or he didn't say it. She'ena Mekulas, even though it's not Mekulas, there's a difference. Pirish, if you clearly express that it's LePesach, then we have to be concerned. But Loi Pirish, if it's not Mekulas, and it's also not put away for Pesach, then we don't have to be concerned. But only Mekulas is much more of a concern because it's a whole roasted animal. And since it's a whole roasted animal, that's when there's always much more of a consideration. Says the Gemara, we just quoted a brisa about Tudas. So says the Gemara, Rav Ascha Masna Loham Asnisak Rav Shimon. He says that it was Rav Shimon that taught this brisa and not Rav Yosi. Ask the Gemara, Baskula Rav Sheshes, Bishlama Lamanda Tanulak Rav Yosi Nicha. According to the Manda Amar that says is that it's Rabbi Yossi's opinion, great. Elaman the Tan Masnik Reb Shimon, the Mandamit says that this Braisa was quoted by Reb Shimon. Ask the Gemara Minicha, how do we understand this? But Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Menachos. The halacha is that a carbon mincha that one donates only could come from wheat. And if somebody says, Harei Elai Mincha Minasoirim, so the Tanakhama says that he should bring a carbon mincha from wheat. Because since it can't come from barley, it can't mean that he meant barley. So we take on the beginning of his statement. He said, Harei Elai Mincha. He obligated himself to bring a carbon mincha, and the halacha is he'll bring one from wheat, from chitin. Rav Shimon says, no, we have to look at the entire statement. And since his entire statement included minasayrim, which is a statement that is not a tenable statement, and therefore, since shalayis nadav kederach misnadrim, we don't bring a carbon mincha from barley, and therefore he doesn't have to bring any part of the barley, the carbon at all. So here too, according to Reb Shimon, that we don't have to be concerned that somebody eating a gedim makulis, that we should be concerned that people will say he's eating kachem b'chutz, because he wasn't misnadav it, he didn't donate it the way karbonos are supposed to be donated. And if you didn't donate it the way karbonos are supposed to be donated, we have nothing to be concerned about. Amalei Ravina Lavashi, Omandel Masla Krab Yosi Minicha, Ask the Gemara. So that's why saying that this concern was stated by Rav Shimon is difficult to say. And ask Ravina Tervashi, and the one that says that it was Rav Yosi who made the statement, ask the Gemara, Minicha, Vamar Rava, Rav Shimon, Beshitas Rav Yosi Amra. Rav Shimon, who we just learned, says that if somebody said, Arei Elai Mincham and Asoirim, it's a meaningless statement, really was following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Domar, because there's a question. If somebody made a statement that the carbon, whatever he's being magdish, he should be shlomim and oila. So the question is, it can't be a shlomim and oila at the same time. It's either or. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, do we look at only the first part of the statement, or do we look at the entire statement? And Rabbi Yossi's opinion was, a person, we look at the entire statement he made. My laugh. So, and therefore, we have to take both statements into consideration. My laugh. Just like Rav Shimon, Sovla Krab Yossi, that we look at the entire statement this person made. Rav Yossi, obviously, Sovla Krab Shimon. And he said that Rav Shimon said that if you weren't misnadiv, kederach misnadvim, we don't pay attention to what you say. Says the Gemara Loi. Rav Shimon, indeed, who said, if somebody said, Arei Elai Mincham and Asoirim, obviously, Sovel Krab Yossi, that we have to take your entire statement into consideration. However, Reb Yossi, Loi Sovel Krab Shimon, the Reb Yossi doesn't necessarily say that if you weren't misnadiv, kederecha misnadvim, that your statement is meaningless. Rather, he agrees that the statement has some value. He just said, B'gmar Adav Nitvas, we have to take your entire statement in consideration. So if Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to the concept of like Misnadv Kederech Misnadvim, that's why Rabbi Yossi would be concerned, but Tudas Ishroimi's Minig, that they ate Gedu Mekulos on Pesach evening. So ask the Gemari Bailuhu. So now we have the following question. Tudus Ishroimi, we're speaking about Tudus Ishroimi. So ask the Gemara, Gavra Rabba Hava, was he a great person? And that's why they were Talmud Chacham, and that's why they were concerned about putting him into a Cherim, or Baal Greifen Hava. Or he was just a very strong person, and because he was a very strong person, that's why they were concerned about putting him to Cherim. So ask the Chassam Sofer, what's the Nafkamina? Why do we need to know this? So he says that if he was a Gavra Rabba, so then this would be a minig that of eating Kedim Mekulis in Rome that was established by Adam Godel. And the Magen Avraham says that when you have a minig that was established by a great person, the minig is Mevatel L'Halacha, and therefore would be a minig that we should follow. If, however, he wasn't a great person, and he was only a very powerful person, then obviously his minhagim aren't minhagim that we have to be concerned. But if the question now is, how can we suggest that he was a great person if he did something which is clearly wrong, that you're not supposed to eat gedim kulis on Pesach? So the Or Chodesh answers that he didn't make it exactly like the Karban Pesach. The halacha is that on a Karban Pesach, we put the legs into the cavity of the animal. And here, he put them on the outside, which is a subject we're going to learn later in the Masechta. How is the proper way, what is the proper way of placing the animal for the Karban Pesach by night? Another pshat, the Chasam Sofer says, that why did we learn that we're not supposed to eat roasted meat on the night of Pesach? Because people are going to think that we're makriv kotchim b'chutz. But Tudus was of the impression that where could we have such a concern? We only could have that concern in Eretz Yisrael, where kabbonis could be brought. But the Gemara keeps on focusing on Tudus Ishroimi, that Tudus lived in Rome. Tudus lived in Chutz Lartz. In Chutz Lartz, there's no such consideration. Toshma, says the Gemara, I'll bring you an answer, a raya, how to answer that question. The Brisa says, Oidu Doris Tudus Ishroimi. Tudus Ishroimi said another drasha. We know that Hananiah Yeshua Azariah and the Nebuchadnezzar had established a statue, and they threw themselves into the fire rather than bowing down to the statue. Says the Gemara, Nosa Kavachoymer Batzman. They made the following Kavachoymer from the Tzvardim. The Tzvardim are not obligated in Kiddush Hashem, Ksibahu, and it says regarding the Tzvardim, they jumped into the ovens. Amosai, how do we know they jumped into the ovens? Because Amosai Misharis Mitzuyas Eitzel Tanner, when is the dough available next to the oven? Have Oimu Misharis Atanacham, when the oven is very hot. Anu, so we who are mitzuvim al kedushas Hashem, alachas kam v'kama, that we have to be ready to be moisa nefesh. So of course the question that all the Rishonim ask is that, as we learned, the halacha is that when it comes to avodah zarah, everybody is mechuyev to be moisa nefesh. So what was the chiddush on Hananiah Mishael v'Azariah that they were ready to go into the fire? So Tosfos, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, says that this statue was not an avodah zarah. He only made a statue in his honor. And still, they, for Kiddush Hashem, were ready to jump into the fire. The Re answers that they could have run away. And there's no, if you could run away, you're not mechuyev to be mois and nefesh when you could run away. Others say that the pshat here is that how did Hananiah Mishael v'Azariah know that they will have a nace happen to them? They were certain that nothing will happen to them. How could they be certain? And they were certain because they took the lesson of the Tzfardeya in Mitzrayim. But the question is that, on the other side, we have a chiv of a chaybehem. We have a chiv to do everything to maintain Jewish life. There's no chiv of a chaybehem on a Tzfardeya. So why is there a kavachomer from Tzfardeya to Klal Yisrael? So I saw a teretz that although that there is a din of v'chaybehem, but they were concerned that if they would bow down to the statue, then other Jews would come to learn that you're allowed to bow down to a statue. And therefore, in such a situation, there is no din of v'chaybehem. The Shvus Yaakov, based on this Gemara, says that from here we see that whenever a Jew is in danger, what he's supposed to do, if at all possible, as we just said from the Re, he's supposed to try to run away. That's what a Jew is supposed to do if he can. Another pshat that I saw, that the Beis Avram and the Devar Shmuel both say this Gemara. The question that we're speaking about Hananiah Mishael v'Azariah is after they did such a tremendous lesson of jumping into the fire, How did it not cause them to think that they were great people? That they did such a tremendous act of Mesiras Nefesh? And the answer was, we were no better than the frog. And just like a frog is ready to give up, is get ready to give up its life for Kiddush Hashem, we certainly as well. Another pshat I saw is that we find that Sfaradim did something great, and the dogs, we know, didn't bark when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. And we find, interestingly, that the schar that the Kelev gets is much greater than the schar of Tzfadeim. The Tzfadeim, they stayed alive. The dogs get meat forever. So I saw that the answer is it's much harder to live al Kiddush Hashem than to die al Kiddush Hashem. The dogs did a sustained act. The Tzfadeim did it for 1 second. It's harder to live a Mesiras Nefesh than to die a Mesiras Nefesh. But the question, of course, is that the Tzfadim was supposed to do so. So the Mefarshim will explain that it wasn't supposed to be that all the Tzfadim were supposed to do so. That's one teretz that I saw. The other teretz that I saw is that it doesn't say anywhere that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of the Tzfadim. What it says is that's what they did. And since that's what, so, and that's how they will learn that what we're supposed to do was shame Kiddush Hashem. Says the Gemara. Rav Yosef Oven, in discussing to the Sishrami, says what his greatness was matam aloy lekisha tamid chamim. He would support tamid chamim. Dom Rav Yochanan, kol amatal maloy lekisha tamid chamim, whoever supports tamid chamim, zoycha v'yoshev yeshiva shamala, will be zoycha to sit in Gan Eden, shenema kibitzel ha-chokhma v'tzel ha-kesef. Somebody who supports tamid chamim will be sitting together with the Talmid Chachamim. And there's a very long and a serious discussion from the Chafetz Chaim. He says, people who in this world support Talmid Chachamim, in the world to come, will be Talmid Chachamim themselves. And because they will become Talmid Chachamim themselves, they will sit in the Olam HaEmes learning Torah with Talmid Chachamim. And in fact, the Ramah in Yerideya Simen Reish Me'an Vav says that somebody who supports those who should be able to learn Torah is considered Talmud Chacham himself. Because he says, the Gemara in Masechta Brachos says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha-neviim lo nisnabu, el meisi bitil Talmud Chacham, lo yisa pramatyu Talmud Chacham, lo mahana Talmud Chacham v'nesachav. Talmud Chachamim atzman lo yin lo yirasu. So we have a stira. He was saying that they're considered exactly like Talmud Chachamim. And there it says that they're great, they have a great schar, but they're not considered like Talmid Chachamim. So Ramosha, Nigris Moshe, Chelik Dalet, Simulam Zion says that there's a difference. If somebody supports a Talmud Chachim, would he socher Zvulun arrangement, then he'll be sitting in Olam Haba with the Talmid Chachamim, and as the Chafetz Chaim says, they're going to teach him the Torah. Otherwise, what's going to be the purpose of sitting together with the Talmid Chachamim who are speaking the very Torah all day? Other people won't be on that madrigal. Again, continuing with Menhagim. Some places they felt it was appropriate to light candles on Yom Kippur. Like that, people will refrain from having relations with their wives. In other places, they felt just the opposite. So it says the Mishnah, Mokim Shnagu Lahadlik Nebele Yom Kippurim, Madlikim. Mokim Shnagu Shloi Lahadlik, and Madlikim. But everywhere, Madlikim, about the Knesset, about the Midrashas, they light candles in the shuls, or in Mars and Phelim, or dark alleyways, by sick people that they should be able to see. And certainly, if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, where we have to light candles every Shabbos, we light candles on Yom Kippur. And our minig is that we light candles on Yom Kippur. Not only do we light candles on Yom Kippur, but we make a bracha on those candles that we light, and we put candles in rooms where men and women sleep together. Tana, Bein Sha'amru Lahadlik, Bein Amru Shai Lahadlik, both the people have a minig to light, and both people who have a minig not to light, as we said, Shleim Ladova Echoniskam, both had the same kavana to create refraining people from having relations. Amru Shur, Darsh Rava, the Pasuk says, V'ameh Kulam Tzadikim Lilim Yishu Eretz, Bein Sha'amru Lahadlik, both of these menhagim were for the Dover Echad to make sure we do the right thing.